Good book by Srila Prabhupada. As the powerful sun, by its glowing rays, can purify all kinds of impurities, so the all-spiritual personality of Godhead can purify all material qualities in a person he attracts. Even if one is attracted to Godhead by the mode of material lust, such attraction is converted into spiritual love by Godhead, spiritual love of Godhead by His grace. Similarly, if one is related to the Lord in fear and animosity, he also becomes purified by the spiritual attraction of the Lord. Although God is great and the living entity small, they are spiritual individuals, and therefore, as soon as there is a reciprocal exchange by the living entity's free will, at once the great spiritual being attracts the small living entity, thus freeing him from all material bondage. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse number 30.
Kama-dvesha-dvayat-sneha-dyata-bhakti-swarema-naha-aveshya-tadagam-hitva-bhava-stad-gatim-gataha.
As through devotion to the Lord, one can attain his abode. Many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection.
Umaginati mirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha mukam koroti vachalam pangum langa yate girim jatripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinataram
nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale srimate bhakti vidanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarne. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the early days of our movement, when there would be a lot of difficulty for the devotees going out on the street to chant or to distribute books, there would quite often be articles in newspapers describing situations with the devotees in a negative way. In Sydney in the early 70s, there was a huge campaign by the police to have all the devotees arrested for disturbing the peace. And it became quite a big issue. And when Srila Prabhupada was presented with the article, he was saying, how many times did they mention Krishna's name? And so the devotees would count. He said, oh, this is good. This is good. But they say, oh, but they're saying bad things about us. He says, that doesn't matter. They're saying Krishna. They're reading Krishna's name. The point being that, as Srila Prabhupada makes at the beginning of this purport, as the powerful sun purifies by its glowing rays all kinds of impurities, so the all-spiritual personality of Godhead can purify all material qualities in a person he attracts.
Tribir gunamayi bhavair ebi savam idang jagat mohitam nabijanati mame bhya paramavyayo. Krishna explains this about himself, that he is above the influence of the three modes of material nature. He never comes under the influence of the modes of material nature. He is never in any way affected by the three modes of material nature. Devi yesha guna mayi mama maya.
This is my energy, my divine energy, he says. So the whole world, mohitam nabijanati, the whole world is illusioned by this influence of the three modes of material nature. And they do not know me. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. The power of sound is something which, even in the mundane sense, is very well understood. A lot of torture is done with sound. And people are put in rooms where there's a loud pitched sound, and they're just left there, and the lights are kept on, and all they hear is this sound all the time, and eventually starts to drive them crazy. Sound vibration is a very powerful thing. So although we are under the influence of the modes of material nature, Krishna is not under the influence of the modes of material nature, and we understand that there is no difference between Krishna and his name. This is an inconceivable truth that can actually only be realized by practical experience, by trying to understand this in a mundane way, that how can a sound vibration be a person? It's inconceivable. It's not possible. We don't have any way of conceiving of this. However, we see the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is spreading all over the world simply on the basis of the sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of people are being affected by this sound vibration. Because as the sun is powerful by its glowing rays and can purify great contaminated situations, the holy name of the Lord can purify the heart of the most contaminated person. Even without us knowing, we become purified by contact with the holy name of the Lord. That is why we propagate the holy name of the Lord. That is why Lord Chaitanya wanted the holy name of the Lord to be chanted down every street of every town and every village in the world. Because whosoever hears the holy name of the Lord is in some way or another affected in a positive way. The degree to which the individual is committed to material enjoyment, or not committed, or at least in some way disillusioned by material enjoyment, or the attempt for material enjoyment, is a part of what you can understand to be an equation of relationship. We all exist in relationship with Krishna. At every moment, we exist in relationship with Krishna. But we are in the realm of forgetfulness. From Krishna's point of view, there is no material energy. There is no distinction, material energy, spiritual energy. There's variegated energies, and as he says, Devi Yesha Gunamai, Devi, this is a divine energy of mine. We call it the three modes of material nature, but Krishna says it's a divine energy of mine. So from Krishna's point of view, there is no material world. There is the world wherein those living entities who have chosen to forget him reside under the influence of the three modes of material nature. And in this way, we are in indirect, unfavorable relationship with Krishna, because we have to act according to the impulses that come from these modes. Nobody can stop doing something, even for a moment. And within the material world, everything we do is dictated by the three modes of material nature. We think We think we're doing things, but we're not. We're actually puppets of the material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Ahankara vimudatma. Vimudatma. Very foolish. Vimudat. Muda means fool. Very. V means very. Very foolish. Because under the influence, bewildered by the false ego, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, the living entity thinks he's doing things which are actually being carried out by nature. We are being engaged in service by the three modes of material nature. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, we acquire a particular condition of mind, a particular condition of senses, and a particular condition of body. And along with that comes all kinds of desires and tastes. And according to the impulses that come, we have to act. We have to act. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. We're not actually free to act in the material world. But as I was saying, Krishna is in no way under the influence of this. And by his free will, he's entered the material world in this age of Kali as his name. As his name. And he's going wherever he pleases. And the effect is dependent upon the state of consciousness of every individual. My wife was telling me the story of how the first time she heard Hare Krishna, she was walking down the street with three or four friends, and there were some devotees walking the other way. And they got abreast of each other, one of the devotees turned and said, Hare Krishna. And my wife said to the others, did you hear that? Did you hear what she said? And the others said, no, what did she say? What did she say? So here's one person who's in a particular state of consciousness, actually somewhat exhausted from the influence of Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki Jai. Somewhat exhausted from the relentless onslaught of this material energy, exhausted from the pursuit of happiness in this temporary place that's full of miseries, frustrated with trying to find, as Lord Chaitanya says, that nectar for which we are always anxious. Always have been anxious from the moment we entered the material world. The material world means anxiety, kunta, anxiety. The moment the living entity enters the influence of the material energy, becomes covered by false ego, instantly one is in anxiety. And we are in anxiety because we've lost Krishna. We've lost our relationship with Krishna, and we've lost our awareness of ourselves in that relationship. Bereft. Bereft and bewildered, but nonetheless needy, not independent. Living entity is never independent. Of course, independent to a minute degree. But that independence is to choose which situation of dependency you'll be in. That's your independence. To choose, am I going to be simply dependent on Krishna, or am I going to be dependent on Maya? Or there is no third choice. And when one is in Maya, one is forgetful of Krishna. One cannot be in Maya unless one is forgetting Krishna. But forgetfulness is predicated on knowledge. You cannot remember or forget something that you don't know in the first place. Yeah, I know it. I just forget it. I just forget it. I know it. I've forgotten it. If I don't know it, I'll never. Where's the question of remembrance or forgetfulness? This is a very simple argument in response to those who say, "Oh, the jiva has never been with Krishna." Yeah. Lord Chaitanya explains that the root problem the living entity has is that the jiva has in the material world is that he's forgotten Krishna. You can't forget Krishna if you don't know Krishna. This is a very important point. Very simple. Same thing as you can't go back to Godhead if you've never been there. You can't go back to any place that you've never been. First you have to have been there and left it and then go back. So relationship with Krishna is actually never broken. It's never broken. It's covered. And in the covered condition, we become related to Maya. And we develop great affection for this situation, great entanglement in this situation, and great dependence in this situation. But as we go along, some living entities, and we see, not many, in the aggregate of living entities that exist within the material world, not many, become a little bit exhausted, with the endeavor to gratify the senses. And in that sense, they become open to something else. What else is there? There's got to be something more than this. Actually, when I first started living as an independent grihastha, I was casting around looking some way maybe I could make some money. And I got involved with Amway. Went to a few Amway meetings. And it was very interesting, the things I was saying there, because they were saying, well, you're not going to be interested in Amway unless you're in what they call the looking zone. In other words, if you're satisfied with what you've got, you're not looking for something else. You're not open to anything else. And we see, we're very selective in what we take notice of. First time I went for an interview for a job, I had to meet this man who was he's a bit younger than me. He's probably about, I guess, 10, 15 years younger than me. And he'd been a famous international rugby player. And he ran this company that I wanted to get a subcontract with for my work. So I had to go and have an interview with him. So, you know, he says, so sell yourself to me. So I told him, well, you know, I told him what my life had been. I'd been a devotee. He said, oh, Hare Krishna. He said, I just ignored them. He wasn't looking, wasn't interested. He'd seen devotees. He'd heard the holy name. He even said Hare Krishna. But he wasn't interested. He just ignored them. He was fixed on becoming the hooker for the Australian rugby team, which he did. And he was a very, very focused, very driven, very hard-working individual. Even after he'd given up all his professional sport, he was running a very successful business. Very, very focused. And he wasn't looking for anything else. Wasn't interested. Ignored the Hare Krishnas. Whereas here we see this little girl walking down the street and a girl turns to her and says, Hare Krishna. She says, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That sound? What is that sound? Both situations, the individual is being exposed to the vibration of the holy name. Both situations, there is some effect. But because, as Srila Prabhupada says here, he uses this very, very important phrase. Although God is great and the living entity small, they are spiritual individuals. And therefore, as soon as there is a reciprocal exchange by the living entity's free will, at once the great spiritual being attracts the small living entity, thus freeing him from all material bondage. So on the one hand, we have a person who's utilizing their free will to ask the question, is there something more than this? On the other hand, we have the individual living entity using his free will to say, can I get more of this? Can I get more of this? Both of them are exposed to the sound vibration of the holy name. But the effect in one situation is immediate. And the effect in the other situation is, well, gradually. Agyata Sukriti. Everyone in that office where I used to go and work, they were all saying, oh, the Hare Krishna fellow. All the time, I'd hear people talking. I'd walk past and say, he's that Hare Krishna fellow. And then people would say, what got you involved with the Krishnas? So they're saying the holy name, they're hearing the holy name. None of them were giving up their meat eating or their intoxication or their gross activities. None of them were saying, I think I'd like to become a devotee. Can you tell me how? But they were being exposed to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name. And they were actually, in a funny kind of way, they were very respectful. You know, I used to have to go along to, staff training. You know, the latest thing had come out, you'd have to go to a training, or they'd have a Christmas party and so on. And, you know, they'd have all abominable things there. But they'd always make some arrangement that, we've got something here for you. Well, they think, don't go over there. You don't want to be seeing that stuff. Deep down, actually, in their hearts, like Srila Prabhupada used to say to us, you preach to everybody to give them the understanding that they're living like dogs. And he says, because deep down in their hearts, they know it's true. They know it's true. The knowledge of the living entity is never eradicated. The transcendental knowledge, the fundamental nature of the living entity is the same as Krishna's, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So the actual nature of our existence is substantiated upon knowledge and is never destroyed. It can never be eradicated. It can be very, very deeply, deeply covered. But this is the point of the purport here. As the powerful sun, by its glowing rays, can purify all kinds of impurities, so the all-spiritual personality of Godhead can purify all material qualities in a person he attracts. That attraction is the essential point. Krishna is all attractive. And all of these people that I'm talking about, whose company I work with, they were actually all attracted. They were all attracted, but they had no desire, no intention of changing their lives. But just as you have no intention of getting typhoid fever, still you get it if you become exposed to it. So gradually these people, this whole world is full of people like this. Well, yeah, it's such a degraded situation in the world. So degraded. Practically speaking, all of the regulative principles are not followed anymore. It's explained at the beginning of Kali Yuga, still there's some truthfulness. But as the Kali Yuga goes on, then truthfulness is lost completely. Practically speaking, it's hard to get the truth about anything that's going on in the world. What is actually happening? Suddenly we hear all the newspaper reports. Oh, there's been huge uprising against the government in Tunisia, and then suddenly in Egypt, then suddenly in, where is it, Libya, and then Yemen, and all through these Middle Eastern countries. Suddenly? No. Why? Well, then you start hearing reports, well, actually, there's been a lot of CIA activity in this part of the world for the last 15 years. All these things are being fomented. Why? Well, there's a major shift going on in the realpolitik of the planet. And so on and so forth. So many things come up where it's hard to understand what is the truth anymore of the situation in the world. What is the truth? Please don't talk in class. You know, I was sitting in a class one time when Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Hindi. And the devotee next to me leaned over and said something to me. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't speak." We couldn't even understand what Prabhupada was saying. Hearing and speaking are very closely interrelated. You know, like it's very difficult to talk to somebody who's not listening to you, isn't it? You have that experience? You're trying to talk to somebody and they're not even listening to you. So our process of hearing and speaking is a very scientific one, and the focus of everybody upon what's going on actually brings out something quite transcendental, quite astonishing. But if we're not focused, if we're not actually exercising our free will to be focused, then, as Prabhupada says, the speaker must be bona fide, the hearer must be bona fide. Otherwise, there's no spark. There's no transcendental spark. This is a great science we're dealing with. So in this age, it is very difficult to find anybody who's not like a swamp creature. Srila Prabhupada used to talk about wet grass, dry grass. How, you know, you can easily light a fire with dry grass, but then you have to dry the wet grass out before it'll take the flame. Well, actually, the situation is much worse than that. It's like a swamp. This world is like a sodden swamp. The consciousness of the world is like a sodden swamp. The forgetfulness of the holy name, the forgetfulness of the Lord is so deep now, that to find anyone with the slightest inclination, or the slightest attraction to the holy name of the Lord is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. But nonetheless, we understand, as Srila Prabhupada said, we understand, just like the doctor who comes to administer the medicine to the sick man who maybe due to his illness is deranged and hallucinating and sees this huge ugly monster coming to attack him. Or actually, it's just the doctor there to give him the medicine. Due to the sinfulness that pervades the world, And especially now, due to the lack of honesty in the world, it is very difficult to find any positive response from anybody. And towards the end of his life with us, Srila Prabhupada, whereas he was always talking about establishing Varnashram in society, towards the end of his life, he was making it clear that that is a very, very, very difficult thing to do. Practically speaking, an impossible thing to do. But there are individuals who will be attracted to Krishna. There are individuals. And we need to be finding those individuals. We need to be looking for those individuals. This is one point Vaisheshika Prabhu was making very strongly when he was here. You need to see who's cooked by the material energy. Who's ripe? Green mangoes, ripe mangoes. Actually, they're being cooked. As the sun is purifying everything, it's also cooking everything. The difference between a green mango and a ripe mango is that it's actually being cooked a little more by the sun. And there are very, very many people in the world who are cooked. They're cooked. They're ready. But they might not be actually ready for devotion straight away. And that's why the comparison is made here in this verse. As through devotion to the Lord, one can attain his abode. Many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. These things, lust, envy, fear, or affection, but especially the negative things, lust, well, affection, yes, sentimental affection, not philosophically based affection, but sentimental affection. So these things, lust, envy, fear, affection, greed, these things don't just vanish from the consciousness. Everybody in the world is so lusty and greedy now. Lusty and greedy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada made that point that you don't need a degree from anywhere to understand how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. You just have to look inside your own heart and see to what degree am I becoming free of lust and greediness. Lust and greed, anger, pride, these things abound in the world now. Because people are very absorbed in sinful activities. Sinful activities, very interesting word, sinful. There's one, it's not exactly accepted as a dictionary meaning of the word sinful, but for our understanding, it's a kind of a folk understanding of the word. It's very useful to us. It appears also in the word sincere. The meaning that is given from the Latin is that sin means without. Sine qua non. There is no equal. Sin. Without. So sincere was a kind of marble. Cere means wax. It was a kind of marble where wax is put in the cracks of second-class marble. Second-grade marble develops long fissures in it, cracks. So if you rub wax into those, it hides them and it looks like first-class marble. So in the days of the Roman Empire, when they were building all the big villas and things, the marble wallers would pass off second-class marble as first-class marble by putting the wax in the cracks. And then when the thing would be built and the sun would be there, then the wax would melt and the cracks would appear. So sin cherry marble was without any wax in the cracks. Sin means without. So sinful activities are activities that are performed without any trace of devotional service, without any trace of understanding of what our actual position is. All activities that we perform are actually activities of service. Everybody is acting to serve their senses in the material world, struggling hard to satisfy their senses, and always defeated. Because these activities are sinful, because these are activities that are bereft of devotional service, bereft of any understanding of our constitutional situation, our constitutional relationship with the Lord. We're all servants of the Lord eternally. That is constitutional. So all of these activities that are going on in the world, they're all activities that are going on without any Krishna consciousness, without any awareness of Krishna. And they have to be abandoned. They have to be abandoned because there is no end to the entanglement in the material world. Just like sometimes devotees leave and they get entangled in sinful activities again. And you hear some other devotees say, oh, she'll be back or he'll be back when they hit rock bottom. But actually, there is no rock bottom. Srila Prabhupada made the statement, just as there is no limit to the ecstatic exchanges of love that can go on between the living entity and the Lord, there is no end to the way in which Maya can kick you. Just when you think you might have hit rock bottom, then the floor gives out beneath your feet and you're plummeted into something that you never imagined you would be involved in. And due to the influence of the three modes of material nature, you think you're happy. You are possessed of anxiety at every moment, but you think, well, we're getting there. We'll get there. We'll be happy. You've got to take the good with the bad. What can you do? That's life. That is not life. That is illusion. That is all it is. It is just illusion. So we need to be very mindful of what we've become involved in and how we've become involved in it. And how the difference between us and those who are not involved in what we're involved in is actually very slight. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that you can't be bounced out on the street by Maya just like that. Holding on to sinful desires, meditating on sinful desires, actually secretly willing to experience sinful activities, is a very, in the mind of a devotee, it makes for a very volatile cocktail. And that cocktail will explode in due course of time. Sinful activities need to be abandoned, but lust, envy, fear, affection for the material things and so on and so forth, it doesn't just vanish immediately. Therefore, we come back to our point, the power of sound. The power of sound in any estimation can never be underestimated. But when we come to the power of the holy name of the Lord, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Shava Shaktis, all the potency of the Lord are present in this sound vibration. The sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, the sound vibration of the words of the Lord, the sound vibration of words about the Lord. Srinvatam Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. This comes from the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Service. The second chapter of the Bhagavatam is probably one of the most complete philosophical dissertations that you'll read anywhere. Well, it is. Let's not say possibly. It is. Because in that chapter, Suta Goswami encapsulates, just as Krishna encapsulates in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the contents of the Gita summarized. What Suta Goswami says in those verses of the second chapter encapsulates what is said in the rest of the Bhagavatam. Encapsulates what the rest of the Bhagavatam is about and what it is for. and how it is to be engaged with. This verse is so important. The Supreme Lord is the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart of every living entity. And he cleanses away the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the truthful devotee who relishes hearing his messages, who's developed the urge to hear. That urge to hear comes when we're prepared to give up sinful activity. When we want to give up sinful activity, when there is an act of will on our part, Krishna is involved in this process and we are involved in this process. And it requires, as Srila Prabhupada says here, an act of free will. An act of free will. The options are presented to us through hearing this transcendental sound vibration, through hearing this transcendental philosophy, for the first time since the moment we entered the material world, we have an option. We have the clear indication of a way out of this mess. There must be some way out of here. There must be. Any intelligent person will ask that question. There must be some way out of here. This mad, insane world. And there is. And because the Lord is within the heart of every living entity, and He, Ishvara Savabhutanam Hriddesha Junatishti, He's directing our wanderings. It wasn't by accident that Savamangala was just wandering down that street that day and a couple of devotees happened to be walking the other way and one of them turned and said, Hare Krishna. All of that was arranged by the Lord. That was not an interaction of the three modes of material nature. That was intervention. There's a very popular series on television now called Intervention, where people with all kinds of, you know, addiction problems suddenly get confronted with family members and doctors and all these people who say, you know, what you're doing is destroying the family and all of this, and you've got to stop. Otherwise, they just go on. They just go on and on and on. And until and unless there is some intervention by the Lord, Deviyesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratyaya. Tribir gunamai bhavai ebi savami dang jagat mohitam navijanati. It doesn't change. We can't change it. We can't find the way out. We can't find the way out. In fact, the prevailing philosophy of the world now is there is no way out. Just accept it. That's all there is. This is all there is. There is no more. But there are people, and many, many of them actually in the world, who don't accept that. They don't accept that. But they have, as Srila Prabhupada says, a poor fund of knowledge. So it is up to us to give that knowledge. And the only way we can give that knowledge is by imbibing that knowledge and by surrendering more and more and more by an act of will to this process, this simple process of hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord. Hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the words of the Lord. Hearing the transcendental sound vibration of words about the Lord. There is no difference. So, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Krishna has intervened, and Krishna will continue to intervene in your life if you want him to. And the fact of the matter is, the way he does that is as soon as you want him, then he reawakens your actual attraction for him. Actual attraction for Krishna is part and parcel of love for Krishna. You can't love somebody you're not attracted to. That's the whole essence of love. You're so attracted to every little thing about the beloved. So Krishna removes that layer, that level of forgetfulness by taking away material desires. Taking them away. So even though the residue of lust and envy and fear and anger and greed is there and affection is there, if in the abandonment of sinful activity we begin to channel those things towards Krishna, and those things do become channeled towards Krishna because Krishna draws them. But as the sun purifies any amount of contamination that is exposed to it, all of these things vanish also. Lust, anger, greed, they vanish from the heart. From the heart of the pure devotee who relishes hearing the messages of the Lord. Exposure to this sound vibration is inconceivably potent. Especially when you're doing it by an act of free will. Submissive hearing. The holy name of the Lord is acting in the world on all levels. Whoever hears the holy name of the Lord is going to be affected by it, and their life is irrevocably changed. The time frame between that exposure and when the full manifestation of the change takes place, maybe many lifetimes, but the process has begun. So we are the most fortunate people, because somehow or another, we have chosen to use our free will to surrender to Krishna, to give up sinful activity, to engage in this process. But this process does not become complete in its effect upon us. Full love for the Lord cannot become manifest within our hearts until we become agents of the Lord. Everyone who joins this movement must understand that their responsibility is to become Krishna conscious and give Krishna consciousness to others. And actually, the best way to become Krishna conscious is to give Krishna consciousness to others. The quickest, most efficacious way is to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Now you'd say, hang on. But you read in the Lilamrita, Srila Prabhupada, right from the moment of his preaching, right from the moment he began giving his Bhagavad Gita classes in the storefront of 26 Second Avenue, he's telling all these people, you have to become sadhus. And they're like, wow, this Swami's far out. He's just telling us we're all going to be sadhus. Yes, indeed. Because one thing that becomes very apparent when you're prepared to put yourself, as the saying goes, in harm's way and do something to preach Krishna consciousness, you realize how endowed you've become, and then you also have an understanding of how bereft everybody is. How stupid everybody is, actually. Vimudatma. How foolish people are in their ignorance and their bewilderment. And how just by knowing just by knowing through your own personal experience that, hey, this works. I'm different. I've changed. Internally, I've changed. How? Chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna prasadam. Associate with devotees. Preach Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees. This was the Lord's instruction. You become a guru. You become a guru and deliver this land. Who's going to become a guru and deliver England? Well, you. Little by little, by little, by little, drop by drop, by drop, by drop, we're having an effect. But if we preach together, this is what Sankirtan really means, to preach Krishna consciousness together. Not that, oh, so-and-so is the great preacher and this and that and the other. Everyone's the preacher. And you can preach something about Krishna to practically anybody. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. And you'll be amazed, actually, how underneath all of this morass, underneath all of this swampiness, there's a lot of people struggling to come up for air. There's a lot of people ready for Krishna consciousness. But they will not get it any other way than the way we got it, by being exposed to it. And how do you become exposed to Krishna consciousness? How do we all become exposed to Krishna consciousness? One devotee. One devotee. In I don't know if I've told this story before, but in the early 90s, when Shonaka Rishi Prabhu was the European Minister for Communications, and at that time Mukunda Maharaj was still very active as the global minister, between the two of them, they contacted a company called Roland. Roland was one of the biggest public relations companies in the world at the time. And they wanted Roland to do a survey for us about how people see the Hare Krishnas, which they did. We attended a meeting with them one day in their boardroom. They had all their team around. The CEO was there, and they really took it seriously, and they came up with a very serious report for us. And one of the questions on their, you know, they do the surveys and they ask people questions. There was a series of questions. Have you been exposed to the Hare Krishnas? Was your exposure positive or negative? What was the impression, positive or negative? And what was it that gave you that impression? The majority of people said, the devotee. Another story. There was a godbrother, Namahatta Prabhu. In the 80s, in Italy, there was a very, very intense program of book distribution, direct book distribution, where devotees would go out as devotees and sell sets of Prabhupada's books. And the way they would do it, in Italy, they'd go to a town, they'd go straight to the mayor, and they'd introduce themselves to the mayor and what they were doing, and then through the mayor, they'd get introduced to all the big businessmen of the town, and they were in offices of businessmen making presentations, selling sets of Prabhupada's books. So Namahatta Prabhu, he was you know, mega at doing this. He just had a knack with people. And he was selling sets of books and sets of books and sets of books. And there was this one town that he used to go to regularly and follow up on people and meet more people. And there was one businessman in that town who just wouldn't see him. Would never agree to an interview. But you know, as a good devotee, he never gave up. He would always go back and he would... So eventually, the man said, all right, I'll give you 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 minutes. So Namahatta gives his whole presentation, shows the books, explains what it's all about, tells about Prabhupada, how Prabhupada went to the West, all these things. And the man's like, you know, And when he finished, he says, "Sir, I want to ask you one question." I said, "Yeah." He says, "If I buy these books, will they make me like you?" And Namhata says, "Yes, yes, my whole life is based on these books." He says, "I'll take them. I'll take them." This is the essence of Krishna's instruction to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. And when we take Bhagavad Gita out of the context of the Battle of Kurukshetra and put it into the context of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, everywhere where Krishna says to Arjuna, "Fight," you substitute the word "preach." And what is Krishna's, the essence of Krishna's instruction? "They're already dead, Arjuna, by my arrangement. Krishna, tribhigunamayi bhava, he's not under these modes. He's not affected by past, present, and future. He shows Arjuna already in the future, they're already dead by my arrangement. You can be but an instrument." Lord Chaitanya has propagated this Sankirtan Yajna to deliver the whole world, to deliver every living entity in the universe. They are already delivered. Even though we go out and think, "Oh, what a swamp it is. What a mess. Look at this. Look at that. This degraded situation." But they're already delivered by the Lord's arrangement. We can be but instruments. But if we are not prepared to be the instruments, then it doesn't happen. That is the covenant of the Lord. That is the covenant of the Lord, that actually this mission will be propagated throughout the world by the most fallen to the most fallen. We can be but instruments. And every one of us can be an instrument. If we want to be. If we want to be. And if we want to be, and if we work together with that desire, then great potency is generated. Great, because as it is said here, Krishna attracts the living entity. So the combined activities of all of the devotees in a conscious intention to perform sankirtan for the glory of the Lord is very, very attractive. And we have to be concerned to make it attractive. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about this. He wanted his devotees to be immaculate. Immaculate gentlemen and ladies. One time he was... Well, am I going on too long? One time he was giving a Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan. And one of his sannyasis was sitting there and he had his top button undone. And Prabhupada was giving the class and he stopped and he said, "Oh, so you are now hippie again?" And he's like, what? And somebody said, does the button up. Yeah. How we appear to people is very important. How we appear to people is preaching. So we need to be conscious of what we are involved in. And it is not just for ourselves. We are Goshyanandis. We are not Bhajanandis. There's been this kind of divide, or this kind of dichotomy of thinking arises periodically in our movement. And you see some devotees, they'll say, "Oh yes, we should all just go to Vrindavan and chant, or we should live in Radhakund and chant." Yes? There's one. One time in 1976, Hridayananda Maharaj came from South America with two young men to take sannyas. They were both Spanish speakers. They only spoke Spanish. So they're in Vrindavan, and one of them, Prabhupada, said, no, he should wait a little, but he initiated one of them. And then after the ceremony, he said to Hridayananda Maharaj, so where are they going to preach? Where is he going to preach? And Hridayananda Maharaj said, well, he wants to spend a few weeks with you, Srila Prabhupada, and get your association. He said, no, sannyas means you go and preach. He said, so where is he going? He said, well, he doesn't speak English. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, just go and preach. And he says that. He says that in the Bhagavatam, beginning, where is that verse? Second chapter, I think, or fifth chapter? Where he says, I'm presenting this Bhagavatam. Jai. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. I'm presenting this Bhagavatam very imperfectly. But he says, just like you understand that neighbors might not speak the same language, but if there's a fire in the house and the neighbor comes, he makes it very clear, there's a fire in my house. And we have to understand the effect that the appearance of devotees has on people. Some will ignore us, but others, just by seeing devotees, they become aware, oh, there's a fire in the house. And somehow or another, these people are the firemen. That's a fact. Because Krishna is within their hearts. And he's bringing them in this way. Does anyone have any questions?